We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in. Welcome back to the Denver Sports Podcast, the DNVR Sports Podcast, whichever you prefer. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. I am your host once again, Jesse Montano, joined by my good friend AJ Haefeli. AJ, we had some plans for a little bit of a bigger panel, but DNVR is currently the international. And we just got people like all over the world. So we were that Will Smith meme. We looked up and it was just you and me standing here.
Word.
So you and I are here. Thank God I have you, because you are probably the most well-versed multi-sport analyst that we have. And AJ, we are here to talk today about the best Denver athletes under 25. And really, it's just a list of people all trying to compete with one person. But we will get there. AJ, I've got a list of four guys that I think are kind of like the big four. Do you have more than four? Just kind of, you don't even necessarily list them, like more than four off the top of your head right now that are, these are guys playing professional in Denver right now that are under 25 that you think are worth talking about?
I've got two Avs, two Broncos, two Nuggets, and one Rocky.
Ooh, you have a Rocky. Yeah, okay, so that was actually when we were putting...
Soon to be two Rockies.
When we were putting this together, Dre and I were laughing, talking about like, ooh, who could we get from each beat? He goes, yeah, and I honestly don't know if you need any of the Rockies guys there. So I'm glad you have a couple. Yeah, and actually, you know what? I feel like a total dummy. I do have one more from the Avs. And then I've got like an alternate for the Avs that I want your opinion on if he falls into the criteria. But unless you have any objections, I'm going to start with the Broncos.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Jerry Jeudy.
Okay.
Just because I think he's kind of... He's the high skill, high upside, really flashy... piece in that wide receiver room, coming out of Alabama. I mean, the route running is the thing that grabs your attention, that I remember people saying before he'd even played an NFL game, this may be the best route runner in the National Football
League. Yeah. And, what's really betrayed him, some injuries have gotten in the way, in his hands. Too many drops early in his career, and then it looked like he was getting it going a little bit, and then injuries. Also, just look, it's a problem for all the wide receivers in Denver right now, but quarterback play has just not been good enough.
Right.
to the point where you just you don't feel. The last couple of years, it's hard to get really hyped on a wide receiver when you're like, good luck getting the ball to that guy because right. your quarterback sucks.
Right.
But Jerry Jeudy is. I guess if we're counting Jeudy, I guess I have three Broncos.
Okay.
So with him, I mean, he is a guy that right now it's more unrealized potential, but is certainly a guy that has that ability to break out and could be, you know, one of the first guys that you thought about when the Broncos went and traded for Russell Wilson is you're like,
yeah,
Cortland Sutton, especially as a guy that goes and is great on the deep ball, which is where Russell Wilson has made hay his entire career.
Yeah.
But also Jerry Jeudy, you look at those two guys and you're like, those are two guys. Those are the two happiest guys in the world right now. Right. And then with Tim Patrick being the other one, but you know, he's hurt and Cortland Sutton's too old for this pod. So it's all about Jerry Jeudy. Jeudy is certainly one of the guys that, I mean, he needs that breakout because they did give deals to Sutton. They did give deals to Patrick. They are deep at the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. Jeudy needs to separate himself. This is the year. There will be no excuses this year. Yeah. He needs to stay healthy and he needs to be productive. And if he can do all those things, like he looked like he was going to be the next great Bama wide receiver.
Yep.
And you know, following in the steps of a Julio Jones, he still has that kind of potential.
Well, dude,
he should still get there. And now with Russ, he has to.
Right. I mean, I've made the joke before. Literally, just watching Jerry Jeudy run routes hurts my knees. Like
oh
the dude,
my God,
the,
right?
The dude's explosive, and he's got athletic ability that is unique and that you don't see even among wide receivers. But to your point, he does need to take that next step. He's got the potential, but when they drafted him, you know, there's a lot of people that talked about, yes, the quarterbacks have struggled, but you've got to give him some receivers to throw to. You've got to give him some talent out wide. Well, there was a big injection of talent. Then to your point, his hands betrayed him a little bit. I don't know if betrayed him, didn't have the hands. And now it's reversed, right? You've gotten Jerry Jeudy the support. So can you now take the ability, the route running, the speed, the agility, can you get the hands to be there now that you've got a quarterback that, like you said, I mean, I remember seeing the videos 2 weeks after the Broncos acquired Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy going out to California at Russell Wilson's, you know, house or whatever it was to run routes with him. Like the pieces are there for this kid to realize the potential if he can. 23 years old.
Yeah, I mean, he has the ability to be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL, and it's really just up to him to put all the pieces together. Because he can be, and if the Broncos are going to be competitive and ever beat the Chiefs again, he has to.
Yeah, and he has to do it consistently too.
Yeah.
So that's one player that, you know, under 25, 23 years old, Jerry Jeudy, who I think you are still really waiting for that next step. This is the one player that I'm sure you and I have overlap in terms of the Broncos. Pat Surtain. Cool. 22, I believe, or 22?
Yeah.
Jot, no. 22 years old. Last year was his rookie year. And while he wasn't a Pro Bowler, he was one of the ones that many people thought was a big snub. What a rookie year for PS2.
Yeah, he may not have been a Pro Bowler, but he will be a lot in the future. Mm-hmm. He's no offense to Tlaib, to Aqib Tlaib, but I think he, when Surtain is done, whenever his Broncos career comes to an end, I think he will be the best Broncos corner since Champ Bailey.
Yeah,
but he does continue a long run of excellence at the position where they had Champ. You know, for such a short period, they had Darren Williams. Then they had Chris Harris Jr. They had Aqib Tlaib. Now they've got Pat Surtain to kind of carry that torch, and he has all the makings of an absolute superstar at the position. The one thing in the NFL today is that offenses are so smart, they're so good that he'll lock down his side of the field, and he'll just take it away. That's all good. That's all well. You love that. But he just doesn't, he won't have the ability to make very many game-changing plays because they'll spend all game avoiding him.
Right, right. Just exposing the other side of the field. His rookie year started 15 games of 16 that were on the NFL schedule last year. 58 tackles, 4 interceptions, and 1 pick 6 on those 4. You know, AJ, it's so funny because you see across all sports, you see young guys come in that are really promising. We were just talking about Jerry Jeudy. Very promising. You see the upside, and there's a lot to be excited about. And you say, man, if he can put this, and you know these tools together, he's going to be great. What's so exciting about players like Pat Surtain and you know a couple other guys that we're going to get to on this list, especially when I think of the Avs, is he came in and was a big-time impact player in his rookie year. Like, what he gave his rookie year was great, let alone if he continues to build on it as a 22-year-old. Like, you're really happy if you just get copy-paste of what he did last year for the rest of his career. You know he'll get better.
Honestly, if that's his baseline level of performance, you're talking about a guy that could be a Hall of Fame kind of talent for you. If he can keep it up, you know, cornerbacks, the hard part is the longevity. Mm-hmm. One of the amazing things about Pat Surtain to me was that I think people got bored with him when he was at Alabama because he was a top high school player. Tip-top high school player, gets recruited to Alabama, goes, starts his whole career at Alabama, is on dominant defenses, is an exceptional college player. And I think NFL evaluators got bored with his excellence where they were just watching him and they're like, yeah, okay, like we get it. He's got great size. He's got great athleticism. He's incredibly well-versed for the position, just being who he is, who his dad was. He's coached up. He's got great football IQ. He's polished. He's mature. He takes it seriously. He puts the work in. He's the complete package. And I think that evaluators get bored when they see stuff like that because their job is to poke holes.
Yeah.
And the big hole that you could poke into Pat Surtain was that he doesn't make a lot of explosive game-changing plays because he's so good at everything else that he just doesn't get very many opportunities to. But the one, like, it's like the one thing, like when they throw to him, oh, he knocks the ball away and they go to the next play. And you're like, weird. Weird that you're going to hold against a guy that he does his job really well. And he gets to 9. He's not even the first corner selected because Carolina's dumb. Right. And you're just like, are you for real with this? Like the Broncos, I thought the Broncos got incredibly fortunate when Jerry Jeudy fell to them. But when Pat Surtain happened, I was in disbelief. And everybody was obsessed with the quarterback stuff. But it overlooked what a special prospect, what a special player they had on their hands. And the rookie year really drove home, oh, maybe the Broncos did this the right way. Like maybe understanding, like, if Justin Fields goes on to become a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of those is a little more valuable than the other. Right, and you can justifiably say, should not have done that, Denver. But I think the Broncos are going to end up being plenty happy with this situation, especially if Russ gives them a number of good years. There's no longer going to be the comparison and the what if. Denver fans are just going to get to enjoy PS2 just being a dominant force in that defensive backfield for a very long time.
The Russell Wilson thing's a good point because that makes it feel a lot better than if he just, even if he was the same player, continue to be great, but if you didn't have that quarterback. Two things with what you said there. One, the Alabama thing. I want your opinion because I know we've talked about it. Again, obviously, you and I are hockey guys. We are on the DNBR Avalanche shows and all that stuff. We talk about it with guys that come from really stacked, in hockey, a lot of it's major, junior, not as much NCAA. Like, was this guy's draft year, was it actually that good, or was it a benefit from playing with these other likely top 10, top 5 picks, whatever? Do you feel like Alabama maybe gets some of that same treatment in the football world where – yeah, like you said, Pat Surtain, yeah, he made every play, but he's playing for Alabama. They're just that much better. Do you think there's maybe a way that people discount a little bit of how good players are because they play for Alabama, or am I reading too much into that?
I actually don't think that's the case. I mean, like, Pat Surtain still got drafted 9th overall, you know? Jerry Jeudy went, like, 15th.
Yeah.
Alabama is producing, like, half the first round every single year, you know? Like, it's – I think they actually get overrated a little bit, and they become harder to evaluate because they're next to other NFL-caliber players their whole college careers. Yeah. They don't have – some of those guys struggle to stand out in some ways. That we see some of those guys that drop to the middle rounds that maybe would have gotten drafted a round higher had they not been next to first round talent their whole career. We are like, Jesus Christ, I'm trying to measure up to these guys. Like, you know, like these guys are, you know, and they go on to be good pros. There aren't. I don't think at this point that there have been too many non-behavior or injury-related, like, big-time busts that have come out of it. And I think it's given the NFL a sense of security to be like, yeah, we'll just draft a Bama guy.
We can dig Alabama, yeah. And then, too, when you talked about just the way that he plays, the way that he defends, and it's not, you know, use another Avs joke, it's a little bland, right? But we talk about that. You and I have talked about that in terms of goaltending in hockey, right? Some of the best goaltenders are the ones that have to make the fewest flashy saves because they're in the right spot. They're doing the right things. It's the same thing here with Pat Surtain for me. When I watch, as someone who's, you know, obviously I'm very dialed into hockey. I'm not as dialed in to, you know, the X's and O's of football, but it's even someone that when I watch the Broncos on Sunday, I can watch Pat Surtain and be like, that dude's just making the right plays. He nothing crazy looks like it's happening on his side of the field because he's constantly in the right spot. He's constantly got the right body position. Obviously, constantly is you're never going to be constantly perfect in professional sports, but
he's pretty close though. Like he's incredibly talented, and where you are having that kind of conversation, like he's that good, man.
Yeah. He's probably my best under 25 for the Broncos. Who was the third that you had that I did not have on my list?
I put in Javonte Williams because he was
the other one that I.
Yeah, he's gonna take over the number one running back. The problem is that running backs are, I this word has like such a negative connotation, and I really don't mean it to. So when I say this, don't like recoil. But running backs are so disposable these days. That it's hard to get attached to one who's really good because you're like, oh, great. I'm going to really like this guy and I'm going to draft him in the top 15 of my fantasy football league. And then I'm going to lose and I'm going to have to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House. You know, like it's like that kind of a thing. Like it's hard to get attached to a guy like that. Because you're like running backs scare the shit out of me. And I just think that he's gritty. He's got the tough yardage. He's got the attitude. I think he has the opportunity to be a big time breakout star, especially if they just turn the job over to him and they're like, look, like all respect to Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone and anybody else they put back there. Like, this is Javonte's backfield. This is his job. This is his space. We're gonna let him really stretch. Stretch his legs, do his thing, because I think he could be a star caliber running back as well. The longevity and the way that the position is, it won't be. I'm not talking Hall of Fame. I'm talking like maybe a couple of Pro Bowl years here.
Yeah.
But with Jeudy and Surtain, especially Surtain, you're talking like the highest end. Like you're talking top five at their positions for an extended period of time.
Dude, Javonte Williams is, because I'll be honest, like I didn't really know much about him the first couple times I saw him play. I wasn't back with DNVR when he first started playing with the Broncos. There was a guy that I worked with. I mean, he's kind of like you actually, but with football and baseball, like specifically, where I mean, dude, he's just got this like Rolodex of players that he knows and stats and all kinds of stuff. And he was telling me like, no, dude, this Williams kid, like you can't bring him down. Like you just can't get him to the ground and you watch him. And that's the part to me that kind of separates him. Again, we'll see how his career shakes out here. Like you said, I don't want to get too in love with a player, especially a running back. But I mean, dude, he does just seem to have that ability that you can't teach it to anybody. It's not a skill you can coach or learn. You just have to kind of have it. He's a little bit smaller. He's got that low center of gravity. I mean, dude, how many highlights did we see that dude last year carrying three, four defenders for 5+ yards? You just can't bring him down. And again, you can't teach that. You just have to have that.
Yeah. So, and in the comment section, guys, he says, I love Miners too. Yeah. Like Quinn Miners is the guy that's like, you love the personality. You love the toughness. I'm less sold on, him to be, like a high end player in his position, but I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good football player for a while. Yeah. I fully expect he'll be a starter for the Broncos for a number of years, but I don't know that, you know, like, can he be like a Dan Neal type where in Broncos lore, we're like, yeah, that guy ruled. I'd be all about something like that.
You get hyped when you see the jerseys.
Yeah. Like I would love something like that. I don't even know if he has that kind of a future though. So Miners is like a big step down in terms of this conversation for now anyway.
Yeah. There's a couple other guys with the Broncos that looked like maybe they were trending, you know, to really kind of be maybe bigger impact players than they have been at this point. I think those are really kind of your big three under 25 that you can get really excited about. Like I said, there's a couple others sprinkled in here that you're okay with, that you like, but
Montrell Washington looks like a lot of fun as a kick and punt returner, and obviously you're curious to see how Nick Benito does his rookie year.
He's another one kind of,
if he hits as a pass rusher, then he's definitely one of those guys that stands out.
Yeah. I feel like you've got some genuine reasons for optimism with the Broncos for the first time in quite a few years. And a lot of it comes centered around Russell Wilson, who is not under 25, but he's going to put a lot of these kids in a good position to be more successful. I mean, obviously the direct impact he'll have on Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams, but then kind of the indirect impact you hope of, you know, Pat Surtain hopefully isn't going to have to be out there every 90 seconds after he heads to the sidelines. You know what I mean? Yeah. Won't have to carry as large of a load on the defensive side, which you hope.
I tell you, Pat Surtain might have to get out there if Montrell Washington keeps returning kicks 35 yards every single time. The offense is going to score in three plays, and you're right, defense is right back out there getting their ass worn out.
Same problem, but less pressure.
Yeah. same problem, but you're way happier about how you got there.
Man. All right. This is the Denver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery. We're also brought to you guys by our great friends over at DraftKings. We're talking best pros under 25, but if you are just looking for your best athletes under 25, college football is back. It's time to enjoy the tradition, the fun, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. And to celebrate college football getting going again, new customers can bet just $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. You can also place the same game parlay for a shot at an even bigger payout, which are some of our favorites. Just combine multiple bets into one, like which team will get the win and which team will score first. All that and way more. Secure, reliable, best of all, you can deposit and withdraw any time you want. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use that promo code DNVR and bet just $5 on college football. Get $200 in free bets instantly using that code DNVR. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. $5 minimum deposit and wager. $200 issue. $200 is issued as eight $25 free bets. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And very professional here. Speaking of professional, AJ.
No.
You know what? It's not smooth sack summer anymore. So I was going to ask you if you were still participating, but it's not. It is fantasy football season though. And the fantasy football draft is right around the corner. Dude, these are incredible. CeeDee Lamb is good, but have you seen D's beautiful balls? It's time to get your snake looking right for this snake draft with the sponsors of today's show.
They make it sound like you whipped this thing out during your fantasy draft. My gosh, this is tremendous writing. I love this.
It's the first day of the changeover, and it's just phenomenal. The leader in below-the-waist grooming have created a championship lineup with their Performance Package 4.0. Join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready to kick off by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR. That Performance Package 4.0, you get the Lawnmower 4.0, the trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviving toner, performance boxers, and a travel bag. That's all in the Performance Package 4.0. Tom Brady didn't come out of retirement for you to have hairy balls. Slotted at quarterback, we have the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, and even your A-gap.
My God.
Lawnmower 4.0 has a 4,000-kilowatt LED spotlight, which allows you to be as accurate as Bill Belichick with a challenge flag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DNVR at Manscaped. It's 20% off plus free shipping when you use that code DNVR at manscaped.com. It's time to put the PP back in PPR and get a grip on your pigskin this season with Manscaped. Good for them, man. Good for them.
That's truly, I'm not even making fun. That's awesome. That's so good.
The CeeDee Lamb one, this like seeing D's nuts. That was phenomenal.
That was my favorite Rudo transition ever.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you guys like CDs? Well, if you're trying to see D's nuts, oh, dude. I still think about it every day. Yeah. I think about that transition.
I hope we have them back at some point on the Avs show this year. Cause Rudo just always had the best, super inconspicuous. Yeah, exactly like that.
I've got tons of them. Actually, I've been writing them for 6 months. I'm ready.
We're just so Manscaped. We're waiting for you back.
Yeah,
defending Stanley Cup champs.
That's right.
Some great reads. AJ, let's get on to the Nuggets. Trying not to be biased to my beat here, but I think the Avs have the best. Highest end under 25 players, so we'll save them for last.
Come on, objectively.
Right. Let's jump over to the Nuggets here. I'm going to start. Let's start with Bones.
Yeah.
Let's start with Bones. Just because he's fun.
Yeah.
My God, is this kid fun, dude? Is this someone who, AJ, in your opinion, is he just really fun, or does he have that really high upside to go with it?
No, I don't think so. I think he's fun. He's energetic. He's easy to love. He's incredibly easy to root for. He's embraced being a Denver Nugget in ways that you rarely see in Denver in Nuggets mm-hmm. history.
Yeah.
It's always been like one of those like, hey, I'm in the NBA, okay? What do you want from me? Like a guy getting drafted by the Arizona Coyotes or the Detroit Lions. Like, I'm a pro, okay? I'm not going to be too upset about which city I'm in, but right. Is this my ideal spot? No. Well, Bones has always treated Denver like it's his second hometown. And that's
like where he wanted to be.
Yeah, and I think that him building that connection with the fan base, I mean, that's – and it's real, too. It's not like a guy selling you a bill of goods. You know, you and I always joke about how phony Russell Wilson is and – and whatever. Like he's like a perfectly nice guy and all that. It's not like a bad thing. He just comes across as like
PR thing that we
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Like you're just like, all right, corny guy. We got it. Right. You know, like don't you need to go to the mall and buy another pair of New Balances? Like, give me a break with this.
The grass stains in here is getting a little thick.
Yeah, like straight up, dude. You know, and the kind of guy that like tucks his jeans into his New Balances when he goes. You know, has a Velcro wallet, that kind of shit. Yeah.
Velcro wallet.
Yeah, I'm basically just mocking Steve Carell's character from Crazy Steve at this point. But no, like, that's like Bones is genuine, and you could feel the enthusiasm. I will hope that at some point in his career he's able to be a starter. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's going to be in Denver just because Jamal is here and he's got that point guard spot pretty much on lock. And I think that that's probably where they stay. Mm-hmm. Bones coming off the bench to be kind of, you know, the microwave for him, you know, the Vinnie Johnson, the Lou Williams, the Jamal Crawford, you know, your instant offense kind of guy. That's probably, I think that's probably the future that we're hoping for from Bones. And that would be a great outcome, honestly, to get that caliber of player. You need those guys, you know, a lot of bench units can't score points. That's why those guys aren't starters.
It was a problem for the Nuggets last year.
Yeah. And having a guy that can heat it up and get going like he can, where if he gets, he gets to feeling it, you know, he's a danger anytime he has the ball in his hands. So yeah. If he can really round out the rest of his game, if he can fill out physically, he's rail thin still. Yeah. And he's still coming physically. I mean, he's only 21, so he's really young. Yeah. So he's got a lot of time to still fill out and, you know, really get the man strength put on. And once that starts to happen, he fills out a little bit more. He gets a little more polished. His defensive game starts to round out a bit. I think you'll have a pretty good player on your hands, but when it comes to the upside, certainly Bones is like Bones has a chance to be an all-time fan favorite.
Yeah,
but in terms of
be up there,
in terms of impact players, like you're talking about a really good, likely bench player. If the Nuggets bottom out at some point in the future, which I can't see with Jokic, as long as Jokic is a Nugget, I don't think there's any bottoming out.
Yeah.
You know, of course, barring injury stuff, of course. But it's, but Bones, I just don't, no, I don't see it for Bones.
Yeah, no, it's, he's a fun guy. He's, you know, he's become a friend of the DNVR Nuggets pod. He's jumped on there a couple times. He's an awesome guy. And I think you nailed it perfectly. He's great for the city and he's great for the Nuggets. You know, we talked about it on this same show when it happened, you know, recently with Yumi and Dre talking about Jokic. For the Nuggets specifically, it's good to have good basketball stories and for the Nuggets, right? In Denver, the Jokic MVP was great for the Nuggets. A guy like Bones is fantastic for the Nuggets in that franchise, in this city. You know, talking about, we were just saying, we don't know if he's quite that superstar level player under 25. The one, in my opinion, that does have that upside for the Nuggets, if he can stay healthy, if he can stay in the game, Michael Porter Jr., limited to just 9 games last year with some injury stuff, really weird injury stuff kind of coming down the stretch. Was he going to be in? Was he not? He's shooting around. He's taking warmups. Not in the game. AJ, if MPJ can get back healthy and really kind of like start his career after, you know, kind of some false starts with some injury stuff in his first 2-3 years in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we looking at with this dude?
I mean, you're looking at like 80% of the player that Kevin Durant is. you're talking about a guy that can get a shot off from anywhere on the floor. Is an elite shooter, has that kind of self-confidence to take over a game on any moment. Dude, yeah. He's also, to add to it, he's also an elite rebounder. He's an exceptional rebounder, and he's got great size. The big thing, again, he's still pretty young, needs to fill out a little bit more. His defense is awful, so he's going to have to figure that part of the game out.
Yeah.
Especially because if he's playing at the three, and I know the NBA has kind of turned into like positionless, but it does still matter where you're trying to hide your worst defenders matters. And a guy like MPJ is still a bad enough defender that teams are consistently attacking that guy. Now, if they're attacking him He's got the kind of length that he should be disruptive. You know, he's never going to be he's not a natural shot blocker, so I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But he should be a disruptive force if he can at least figure out some of the defensive game and start to understand rotations and how teams attack him and what he needs to do in situations to give himself a chance to be successful on that end.
Well, dude, I mean, he's a monster. He's 6'10".
Right, like physically, you're talking about a guy that in theory could be a dominant player here.
Right.
I mean a dominant NBA player, not like he could be good at this one or two, you know, he's got the kind of tools to be a dominant NBA player. Yeah. I don't know that he'll ever get to that, but
right.
If he can stay healthy and if he can even come close to maxing out his potential, the Nuggets, you have a really hard time believing that they don't have a championship sometime in their future, because I legitimately believe that he is the difference between Nikola Jokic bringing home a chip someday or not.
Yeah.
In Denver, because MPJ, as that third banana, as that high level, that third star, his potential is so high that he could surpass Jamal as the second guy, the second star, if we have to put him in a hierarchy.
Right.
He's got that kind of ability. So MPJ is absolutely one of those guys that look, nobody on this list can touch Cale Makar because of what Cale Makar has already accomplished.
Right.
But 10 years from now, if MPJ is able to stay healthy and he's able to have the kind of career, then we could be talking about a very special player in Denver sports history.
Right. And on this team has the ability to not only be a special player, but bring some special results. Again, it's been tough. It's been tough for MPJ. Back surgery, I believe it was in his draft year, right?
Yeah.
Back surgery in his draft year. Part of that is why he fell to 14th, where the Nuggets were able to get him instead of being available, or, you know, instead of being taken at a much higher draft pick, which he probably would have been had it not been for back surgery. In his draft year, that probably scared some teams off. Whatever it was this year, you know, there were some conflicting reports late in the season about what exactly it was that was keeping him out of games late. So I'm not going to get into speculation on that. But, man, you really do just – you'd love to see him get his health – I said get his health taken care of, but that's not kind of out of his fucking control, you know, but just be able to stay healthy, be able to stay in games. Cause to your point, as good as he is, as much promise as he is, there are areas of his games that he needs to improve on to reach that potential. And you got to play, you can't simulate game action for anything. And so you hope he can get back. Him not being in the lineup was a huge reason why the season went as sideways as it did for the Nuggets, especially once they got into the postseason. They need a guy like him to be in the lineup if they've got legitimate championship aspirations here in the next few years. He's that good. Anyone else for the Nuggets that jumps out to you, or is it Bones and MPJ under 25?
No, I mean, like, Zeke Nagy, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, like, we'll see what those guys become. Really, like, even Bones. If Bones wasn't a fan favorite, we wouldn't be talking about him.
Yeah.
But MPJ has a chance to be that dude.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? He's making just shy of $31 million. He better be that dude.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the frustrating part, right? Is, like, we've seen him on nights be that dude. Like, we've seen the flashes of it already, even in the first 2-3 years injury riddled. Like, we've seen the flashes where MPJ can be,
go back and watch the best NBA games that guy's had, and you're like, so you're telling me we could get that 6 out of every 7 nights, huh? If this goes well, if he continues to figure it out, like, holy smokes, the guy is just an absolute beast waiting to be.
Yeah. And then, like I said, at 6'10", that's even big for the NBA. Like, in a league where everybody's huge, 6'10" is still really good size. AJ, I'll be fully honest. I didn't have a Rockies name. Who do you have for the Rockies?
So I've got a couple of guys. And really, like, they're not – they're so he just got to the Rockies recently, but Eloise Montero, who's one of the headliners of the Nolan Arenado deal, has kind of had the year that and is starting to tap into the potential I thought he had when they got him. Big-time power hitter. Where he's going to play in the field is still a big question mark because he's not a very good fielder. But he is he and I actually share the same birthday, which I literally just learned. So obviously that makes him awesome because go Leos.
Even better. Yep.
But he could be a real player for them. He's got the kind of power profile. If he adjusts to MLB pitching and, you know, he between first base, third base, and DH, he should be able to move around enough in the lineup to be in there pretty much every day. He could be a big time power hitter for them. At one of the premier power positions. I don't know that all-star, I don't know, but I think everyday guy for sure for Eloise Montero. Also, he's not – the two guys that have not hit the show yet, but one of them will this year, Ezekiel Tovar. He was a guy that coming into the preseason I had as I would have had him in the top 100 prospects in all of baseball. I don't know why – the people who actually get paid to do this didn't, but all of them freaking do now.
Yeah.
The thing about Ezekiel Tovar is that he's his success has come at such a high level every single year. You're talking about a guy, he is 20 years old and he hit 300 in AA Hartford this year. He is already a high-end defender at shortstop, which is one of the premier defensive positions in baseball. And if that bat will can translate and he can get any kind of power, because he had 13 home runs for Hartford this year. And I know that that's a home run friendly ballpark, but when you OPS at the 932 level, again, as a 20-year-old before you have right. physically filled out, You're talking about, this is not just a guy where you're like, oh, he could be an everyday fielder for you. You're talking about a guy that could be an all-star in the big leagues. A legit all-star shortstop that is an actual, like you're not missing Trevor Story anymore kind of thing where, yep, should they, of course they should have traded him and blah, 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 blah. But in terms of replacing him with a productive player, Tovar has the kind of potential. He's not even the only high-end shortstop that they have in the system. They've got two. And Brendan Rodgers is sitting at second base right now, who was drafted as a shortstop. And you could probably put him back there pretty comfortably given the defensive year that he's had at second base, where he's been one of the best defensive fielders at that position. But he's 26, which surprised me when I actually went and looked it up for this list.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are the guys. Those are two guys. Zach Veen, obviously, he was drafted top 10 2 years ago, and all he's done is destroy the minor leagues. He looks like he could be a star outfielder for the Rockies in a couple of years too. So you've got some guys all of a sudden, and a year ago, nobody thought anything of the Rockies system. And a year later, they've got five guys in the top 100. And all five guys were guys who were in the system a year ago. So they're having big, big breakouts right now where you're really, really, really hoping. When the Rockies drafted Drew Romo, I said on the draft show that day he was going to be the best catcher in Rockies history. It wasn't that big of a leap because the Rockies have never had a good catcher.
Ever.
But it was a bold statement because high school catchers are one of the highest bust rate profiles in all of the baseball draft, and especially defense first guys like Romo. But Romo has been excellent, so I feel bad leaving him out of this little like prospect fest that I'm having here. But he's also a guy to watch. ETA on all these guys is the next 2 years. Tovar should actually debut at the end of this year. Montero's already in the bigs right now, having himself quite a good time, being very, very productive in the last month. Obviously, lots of guys in have had good months in baseball history. It's on him to keep it going, but a very encouraging overall season from Eloise Montero. And you throw in Tovar, who could be a legit superstar, and Zach Veen, who, that guy, he's a lot of fun to watch in minor league baseball. You've got some guys for the Rockies that it's fair to, it's okay to dream on these guys, but I would understand if you're like, wow, prospects, AJ, fun. Sounds like the Rockies. That's fine.
I won't even make the joke about them trading all of them once they become All-Stars.
Obviously.
Last question on the Rockies. Do you feel like, is this maybe the most confident you felt in their system ever in the last 10 years? Or have we seen this before?
The really big problem here is that they're lacking, if you go through their top 10 prospects, okay? Like if you go to Baseball America and you look up their recent list of top 10 prospects, you're going down it and you're like, oh my gosh, look at all these guys. This is great, man. There are, in their top 10, there are 9 position players and 1 pitcher. And the 1 pitcher was the guy that they just drafted 10th, who was a big time overdraft because they were desperate for a college arm. He was not a guy that's viewed as a guy that has a lot of really high upside. He's viewed as a mid rotation. He's going to be a number 3 guy if he maxes out and really lives up to his potential. Doesn't have that kind of special arm. Not an ace. Not a game breaker. Like good solid MLB pitcher that you can get into your rotation and will be more than just a depth guy for you, but not the front of the rotation guy. That's what they don't have. And when you look at the MLB ranks, you're like, look, they just gave a bunch of money to Senzatella, Freeland, and Marquez. So those guys really just need to live up to it. They're trying to get out of that rotation, out of those guys. They're trying to extend into this next window of these guys that are all coming. But when you look at their system, it is not special with arms.
Yeah.
Now I just count the top 10. But if you do go beyond that, 11, 12, and 15, and 16 are all pitchers. Like, basically 11 through 20, the majority of their guys are pitchers. So there are some guys in that system that there's hope for, right. But right now the high end is severely lacking. Of course, we said the same thing about their position players a year ago. Right. So you give them a year and we'll see how it goes. But for right now, there's some upside. There's more upside than a lot of people would have you believe for the Rockies, because it's the Rockies and nobody wants to be excited about them. Everybody just wants to continue being mad, which I get.
Which is understandable. All right. Last but certainly not least, this brings us to the Colorado Avalanche, which it's so funny because this team is fresh off of the Stanley Cup championship almost 2 months ago to the day, 2 months tomorrow. And yet they probably have the most, like, if we had another 30 minutes, we could go 5 players deep on this list for the Avs, all talking about players that are under 25 that have the ability, have the potential to be impact players. I've got 2.5 specifically pegged out for this conversation.
Is the half Alex Newhook?
The half is Mikko Rantanen because he's 25. So if this is 25 and under, he fits. But if this is under 25, then he does not.
Okay.
Obviously. So that's my half.
Fair enough.
But you mentioned Cale Makar earlier. We'll do him last. Bowen Byram is my other one at 21 years old.
I have said this before. I've called my shot on this very pod, actually, on TDSP. but I think Bowen Byram's going to be a Hall of Fame caliber defenseman. I think that he's got the extreme... I think he's got the ability to be one of the very best defensemen, two-way defensemen, too. His defense is already excellent.
Yeah.
I think his defense is probably, in zone defense, is probably already better than Makar's is. His transition game isn't as good. I mean, whose is, though? And And his ability on his offense is coming around very nicely. And you could have had 5 goals. He didn't score any goals in the postseason. Could have easily had 5 because he kept smoking the post.
Two posts that I can think of, like, just off the top of my head without even, like, committing any brain power to it.
Well, I'm curious if they're the same. Which ones?
It was the overtime in, was it Tampa?
Game 5.
Yep.
Game 5 in Tampa. No. Or game 4 in Tampa, sorry.
Game 4 in Tampa. And then there was the one against Edmonton.
Okay. There was there was one against St. Louis, too.
Yeah, St. Louis. Yeah. Oh, also overtime on that one, right? Yeah. But I mean, look,
that backhand in game 4 in Tampa Bay, I thought was in. I thought it was in. Yeah, like I was like, I was like, they're gonna review this and that puck's gonna be in.
He's also the one, he's the only one on the ice that knew both Nazem Kadri and Andrei Burakovsky's goals went in separate games. He was the constant in both those scenarios. But, I mean, look, like, the Avs, and we actually just talked about this very trade on the DNVR Avalanche show earlier today, yeah. So go listen to that if you want a little bit more backstory. But, like, the Avs didn't get Bowen Byram through traditional means. The fact that they have two defensemen, really 23 and under, that have Hall of Fame upside, It's a huge stroke of luck from a trade and a couple of good drafts. But I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, just what we saw from Byram this last year, even with the concussion stuff keeping him out for part of the year, if he can stay healthy, I mean, this kid to me looks like a legitimate number one defenseman type upside guy.
Yeah. And to be honest, if he was in any other organization outside of Colorado, I would say Colorado, maybe Buffalo, maybe Dallas, maybe Detroit. He would be the Rangers, Vancouver. Those would outside of those organizations that all feel like they've got number one guys. Mm-hmm. He would be getting that kind of hype nationally. Yeah. As like because imagine if Chicago had done the smart thing and taken him over Kirby Dach. would be leading. I mean, he'd be paired with Seth Jones, and he'd be leading their rebuild right now.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he'd probably have an A on his sweater, you know.
You're right. Like, and who knows how different the last couple of years might have gone for him, you know, with no concussion issues. And, you know, he was there getting huge minutes and being a stud. And maybe they decide not to tear it all down and do what they've done because they've got a foundational piece like a Byram. You know, He's just that kind of guy. I'm all in on him as a very, very special player.
Yeah. It's, you know, a good size too, 6'1". So he's got a little bit of size on Makar.
Both he and Makar, it's not a major staple of their game, but each of those guys will lay you out. If you give them an opportunity, they're not shy about it.
No, heavy, hard hits. And that's one of my favorite things about Byram is he does have a little edge to his game. He likes to mix it up after the whistles. You know, the quote that you put out on Twitter, you know, he's constantly chirping at guys, the dude from juniors. You know,
9 to 5, baby.
Yeah, he does. Like, he likes that stuff, gets him into the game. He's like a little bit like Nazem Kadri in that sense. That's, I'm not comparing those two players, but, like, you know, he's just got that edge where he likes to be involved. And for a 21-year-old kid, it's impressive.
Yeah. And when you do remember what he's been through already and just the way that he's bounced back and the way that he has responded in big moments. I mean, Devon Toews is top human, but Bowen Byram was arguably on the same level as Devon Toews in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then the maturity as well. And I think this is part of what you're alluding to. Mm-hmm. You know, he told us this last year that he thought about, he had conversations with his, you know, his family advisors, their agents, his parents about, you know what, just shut it down for the year. We'll try again next year. But he decided, no, like, I want to be a part of this. This is something special and I want to work to get back. Be really easy for him to have said, take the year off and we'll see what happens next year. Again, for a 21-year-old kid to put in the work that he did to get back and make the impact that he did in the playoffs, I agree with you. I think he was right up there with their among some of their best. A couple quick honorable mentions. Like we said, Mikko Rantanen at 25 years old. I mean, bona fide superstar, elite forward in the NHL. Alex Newhook, another 21-year-old kid the Avs have big expectations for. Hope he can kind of come along. Sam Girard, we mentioned earlier, a staple in this defensive group, 24 years old. AJ, it really is like it's just, you know, Ben Myers, 23. A kid that they're expecting to play a big role in the bottom half of their lineup. It is just impressive that we've now gone through the four major teams in Colorado, and it's somehow the team coming off of defending a championship seems like they're the most stocked in the cupboards in terms of youth.
Not mentioned, but 24 years old, Sam Girard.
Yeah.
Like, he's also on this list of – and like – deserves to be on this list ahead of Alex Newhook, who still hasn't.
Yeah.
Girard is a more proven NHL player at this point than Newhook is.
Absolutely.
We'll see where Newhook's career goes. You and I are both believers that it could be, he could have a pretty good one ahead of him and be a second line guy. But
yeah. I mean, we're
talking about like five guys here.
I'll say how many teams, and it's a relatively small pool. I'm not like trying to like dunk on the league here, but like there are, what, a half dozen to a dozen teams where Sam Girard's probably a first pairing guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Half dozen to a dozen, you know, 10 in that range. And that's a guy that, like you said, is kind of an afterthought for us at 24 years old. It's just crazy. Let's round this out. We'll get out of here for the day. We are going to talk about Cale Makar here.
Yeah, and the reason that we bring him to last is because there's honestly the least amount to say, because he's got hardware that speaks for him.
Right. Let me just at 20. We'll even not do the international or collegiate stuff. He was a first team all rookie, Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. Two-time first team NHL All-Star, a Norris Trophy for the league's top defenseman, a Stanley Cup, and a Conn Smythe as the playoff MVP. And like I said, that's before you even talk about any of his international or collegiate awards, which collegiate, he got everything but a national championship there as well, which he came one goal shy of.
Runner up, which, by the way, a runner up at a program that won four games the year before he showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in two years, they went from winning four games to a runner-up in the Natty. Now, that's not all Cale Makar, obviously. Guys like John Leonard and Mario Ferraro had plenty to do with it. Guys who got drafted and are in the NHL. Too.
Yeah.
But the fact that Cale Makar, everywhere he's gone, come on. One of my favorite little features on Elite Prospects, which is one of the NHL's go-to websites. You go to Elite Prospects, you search for a player, and they have a highlights section, which just shows their hardware, the trophies and stuff that they've won in their career. For 23-year-old kid, and this counts their college career, this counts international career. His highlights thing is already full.
Yeah,
he's got 12 things in here, going back to his junior career in the AJHL, because 23 years old, he has a gold medal in the WJCs. He won the AJHL championship twice. He was a first team All-American in college. UMass won the Hockey East championship. He won the Hobie Baker as top college player. He was on the NHL All Rookie team. He's won, as you mentioned, the Norris Trophy. He's been a two-time first-team All-Star, the Calder, a Stanley Cup, a Conn Smythe, and then, oh, by the way, he was also, back when he won the gold medal, he was on the WJC All-Star team. He has put together the kind of profile where if he never played another second, you could argue for him in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Seriously.
Because this is an important distinction with the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the NHL. Yeah. It is the Hockey Hall of Fame where all accomplishments are considered. If he never played again, Cale Makar, you could say, had one of the great young careers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
What he has already accomplished is the stuff of legend. I mean, you look at that hardware and look, it's hard to win those things. Maybe he doesn't ever win another Norris. Maybe he only wins one or two more. Maybe he doesn't ever win another Stanley Cup. He probably doesn't win another Conn Smythe, but you don't know.
Right.
Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he joins Patrick Waugh as the only three-time Conn Smythe winner.
Seriously.
It's just not.
And all of that that you just listed doesn't even mention or touch individual records that he's either already set, tied, you know, broken at the NHL level, whether it be for the Colorado Avalanche franchise in terms of points by a defenseman in a season and a game, goals. I know he's got a couple, again, kind of more specific records. But the fact that Cale Makar already has his name all over the record book at 23, even if they are a little bit more niche, it's just more accolades on top of everything that you just listed there, AJ.
If he has the year that he had last year, just repeats it, puts up the same number of points, he will finish the year third in all-time Avalanche defenseman scoring. He will be third on that list, and he will be within striking distance. He would then pass both Lyles and Barry the next year in 23-24. So by his fifth NHL season, he is likely to become the Avs' all-time scoring leader for defensemen. Now, I know that Tyson Barry is the guy at 307 points, so it's not a very high number for a franchise record. But the fact that you're talking about a guy that will have done it in 4.5 years,
right?
It will probably take him under 5 seasons to become that guy.
And the other thing too that I loved pointing out to people this year, this was his first full season. Each of his first two were shortened by COVID.
Yeah.
His first full season, he had some injury stuff that kept him to only 57 games plus the COVID stoppage, about 10 games shy. And then 2 years ago, was obviously the pre-scheduled shortened season due to COVID. So this last year was the first year that he had a full 82-game NHL schedule, which kind of just the point that you're making there, yeah, it's not an ultra-high bar, but given that he has the potential to do it in so few time, and then you factor in it's a short time made even shorter, it is just that much more impressive.
For the record, he's only 5 points behind Sandis Ozolinch for highest scoring defenseman in Avs history in the postseason. He'll probably pass it in their first round series next year.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, look, there's a lot of really good players on this list that we talked about today. All of them are trying to get to the level that Cale Makar is already at, all the stuff that he's already achieved. It's awesome that there are this many players under 25 that we can talk about this in Denver, but Cale Makar is the cream of the crop. Really, as great as a lot of these players are, no one can really touch him right now. I guess maybe Byram's the closest because he also has a Stanley Cup. But
for the record, out of curiosity, I looked it up. Players, defensemen who have played at least 50 postseason games, Cale Makar's points per game is second all time behind Bobby Orr.
It's got to be Bobby Orr, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, that's the comparison. That's the comparison everyone wants to make, is this guy is basically Bobby Orr of the 2020s. So if you're getting that comparison, doing some things right.
Yeah, he's already in the top 50 all time in defenseman scoring in the postseason.
So. That's so crazy. That's so crazy. In the postseason, where it matters, wore a letter on his jersey for the Avs at multiple points this year. So he's a leader off the ice as well.
where, I mean, we say where it matters, but also where you get the lowest guarantee of games played.
Yeah.
Because your team has to be successful in order for you to have the games to climb a list like that. The fact that he's 23 years old and he's 46th all-time in defenseman scoring in the playoffs, there's that guy, you fast forward 1 year, if they make another deep run, he could be top 25 by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a chance that fast forward 1 year from today, he's a top 25 postseason defenseman in scoring ever.
100 plus year history of the NHL.
Right. At age 24. Like,
and he'll be on this show next year. And we'll still be talking about him on this.
You're right. He'll be on this exact show next year. And we'll have to, like, knock Sam Girard off.
Right.
And be like, well, I mean, Kale McCarr's dominance in this category just got bigger.
His list of accolades somehow grew. AJ, let's get out of here.
He needs to win a heart.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if he does that, that's like you're talking about like the greatest under 25 player of all time.
Yeah, I mean, if he wins a heart, he becomes the first defenseman to win the heart since Chris Pronger in 2001.
Jeez.
It's become very hard for defensemen to win it.
Yeah. If there's anyone that can, though, you know, we talk about it every year. You have a couple awards. You have a couple awards where it's just like, yeah, it's this guy's turn. I have already heard some national media buzz about Cale Makar for Hart. If he comes out and has a similar season to this year, I think you're going to have a lot of people who want to get it for him. Writers, which again, maybe that's a reason why we shouldn't be voting on it, because you have a bunch of national writers all hyped to give Cale Makar a Hart.
Yeah.
AJ, appreciate you doing this with me, man. Like I said off the top, we had some folks planned to come in with us, but there's all kinds of great things going on at DNVR. We're in Serbia. We got folks down in Arizona doing stuff. We got folks all over the country getting things done for us. So AJ and I pulled together for you guys to make sure we got this one out. So AJ, I appreciate you. Shout out to Marissa for running the board for us. She's been running our board now for the last like 2.5 hours between this show and the last one. So we're gonna let her go, but big shout out to her for helping us out while we are stretched so thin at work with producers and stuff. Big shout out to Marissa. For AJ and Marissa, I'm Jesse Montano. This is the Denver Sports Podcast brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery. We'll talk to you guys next week.